Hey there. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast. I am so glad you're here. This show is for leaders who care. Leaders who know that when things get messy, the way we communicate makes all the difference. Every week, I sit down with incredible guests, founders, VPs, rising stars, to unpack real moments of today where communication matters. We talk about what works, what doesn't, and how you can lead conversations that create trust, movement, and momentum. Because in uncertain times like today, your words have weight. Let's use them well. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we help CEOs and their leadership teams strengthen communication so they can move together with more clarity, alignment, and purpose. Because I believe communication is not just a soft skill, it is how your leadership team drives the growth of your company. Today's topic is about why do great companies get overlooked? In our society and culture of information overload, it's not enough just to have a fantastic product or even amazing case studies. We need more than that to stand out. Joining me for this juicy topic is Borja Kwan. He has more than two decades of experience helping companies to grow through strategic marketing, client experiences, and performance advertising. He's a co-founder of 415 Digital. Borja uses thoughtful, results-oriented approaches to help organizations grow in a meaningful and sustainable way. I'm so excited to dive into this conversation. Welcome, Borja.
Hey, Melinda. Thanks for having me.
Hi. It's so good to just dive into this conversation. I'm excited to get started. And so the first question I'm going to ask today is, there is a busy leader out there who has stopped to listen to this episode. What do you hope could change in this leader's life if the person takes into account all the things that we are going to talk about?
Yeah, I think I would hope that they come out of this with a better understanding of how important it is to really align with clients and understanding what matters to clients when you're working in a professional services environment as we are. And that really requires you to spend time with your team. They come out of this really with a clear understanding of what it means to have a strong communication, strong relationships with customers.
I love that, because when you say that you would like people to have better communication or relationships with clients, the first thing I think of, oh, you have to meet with the clients more. But you said, well, you know, you have to actually talk more with your team. So I'd like to dive into that. And before we get into that, can you tell them more about what you do at 415 Digital and what excites you today?
Yeah, I'm one of the co-founders of the agency. We opened our doors about 9 years ago in 2017. And we essentially help businesses scale by way of digital advertising, specifically on Google, Meta, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and a few other platforms. So we're essentially media buying advertising on those sites to help them acquire customers. And in addition to media buying, we're also helping them design ads to support their social marketing media campaigns.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing this quite a bit for a while. And so how has the landscape changed? Is it exciting? Is it more complex?
It is. Yeah. I joined the industry in 98, which for context at the time, Google was less than 1 year of age. So it was a long time ago. The internet was a relatively nascent concept. And I would say, of course, yes, it's changed in the last, 27 years. I would say in many ways, it's gotten, more competitive, more complicated, more entries, more entrance into kind of the digital marketing ecosystem with a lot of other platforms, right? That are now being sort of I guess vying for advertising dollars. But at the end of the day, I think while there's a lot of change, and now with AI, you had asked me kind of what am I excited about? I'm excited about having an agency in 2026 because I think there's an immense amount of opportunity as a founder of a performance marketing agency. A lot of ad dollars out there. A lot of companies need the services that we provide. We're in a sort of a period where AI is really the hottest topic, and we as an agency are embracing AI and using it to sort of supplement the service that we provide our clients. Not that it's replacing or displacing our team, but it's something that a tool that they're incorporating into their day-to-day to allow them to be more efficient and potentially remove tasks that are more administrative in nature so they can, in exchange, focus on building client relationships and really focusing on revenue-generating activity. So really exciting time to be in this space.
Yeah, no, I love that you've been in this space for so many years and you can then take forward all your experiences to move into the next era of, especially with AI. And so you would think like having this background of knowledge of where we've come from before to today, I think of advertising, marketing as more cost effective for companies more than ever before, because we can reach so many more people. We have so many more platforms, but yet great companies, really good companies are still getting overlooked. And so why do you think that that is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said this in the introduction, which is it is not enough to have a great product or service, right? I think when you're doing the marketing, it's a lot about optics, right? Case studies, sales collateral, a nice looking website that says all the right things. And that gets people interested. But ultimately, in order to win business today in 2026, if you're a marketing agency, you need more than that. I think that's sort of a basic thing that you need to have to be at all considered by an advertiser. I think, a lot of companies get overlooked a lot because of kind of the inner workings of that agency or that business. I think there's sort of perception versus reality. I think oftentimes, we might think a client likes the things that we are doing, or we may think a client is doing a good job, but in fact, that isn't the case, right? We say, oh wow, this client is really happy. We had a call, it went well, they didn't say anything was wrong. So the assumption is that things are going well, right? But I think oftentimes what you will come to realize if you really dig deep and you ask the right questions is that oftentimes there's misalignment, right? There are probably a lot of clients that you're working with who you might think are happy with your service, but in reality are not. And the reason they're not is because you've never asked, or the reason you don't know that is because you've never asked them the simple question. You've never actually spent time, you've never given, survey your clients or just had a conversation with them. And so I think oftentimes, a lot of companies are overlooked because they don't do a really good job of understanding these things and sort of what it takes to build a good relationship and earn a customer's trust. And it's a lot around communication, and the way that you communicate and the frequency in which you communicate. And most importantly, what you are communicating to your client.
Yeah, tell me more about that. So you mentioned earlier to have really good client relationships, you're going to go to your team to be responsible on communicating what to the client. So tell me more about what you see people doing that's wrong.
Yeah, so we spend a lot of time in training and development as a professional services organization. Ultimately, clients measure us on two things. Number one, it's the results that we generate for them, which is really helping them grow more revenue, more customers. But in addition to that, it's the relationship that we have with them. And it's important in our business to have a good relationship with your client, because if you do not have a good relationship and the results are not good, you oftentimes will not get a second chance. If the results don't meet expectations, but the relationship is exceptional, oftentimes they'll give you another chance. So it's really important to do both. Obviously, hitting their numbers is number one, but you should really be aiming for both of those things. And so we spend a lot of time on developing our team soft skills, really working with them on account management. What does that mean? When you're working with a customer, what is important, right? For us, we always say day one, when we work with a client or we're onboarding them, it's sitting down with them and understanding from them, how do they measure us as a vendor? What is the success metric or KPI that they look at in order to determine if this is a good vendor relationship or not? Because we are an expenditure on the P&L for them. So I always want to know, how do you view this as successful? What is it that I need to be looking at? So I just can check at any given time that this is working well, right? And then we want to establish what those goals are, what the KPIs are, and then we can sort of, monitor that, right? And so that's part of it. It's kind of the numeric side of things. How do we sort of know we're doing well or not? But then in addition to that is in business, and when you're building great relationships in your personal professional life, how do relationships flourish or prosper? It's usually because you're doing a good job of communicating with each other, right? If you're not good at the communication, usually relationships fall apart, right? In your personal life. And this really carries over to business. It's the same idea. We're dealing with humans, or we're working with human beings every day. So really the art of communication, the ability to communicate effectively, clearly, is so important in our business, because I've come to realize whenever there's an issue with a client, I'm usually finding that the friction point is tied to bad communication or non-existing communication, right? And so what that means is we have to know what our clients want to know about. We have to make sure that they are aware of all the things that we're doing for them, because it's not their job to know all the things that we're doing. They have many other responsibilities, they have many other priorities. So for us, it's really understanding, okay, what is the information that they want us to provide to them, at what frequency? And then we need to be really good at doing that.
Oh, I love that. I know it is quite nuanced depending on the client, but I think your overall intention is what does the client want to hear, right? And then also when you do communicate the what they want to hear, you also have to have the right communication skill, meaning when you say skill, it means like the nuance of listening and connecting, and when I'm saying the things that they want to hear, whether it's a number or the outcome, am I using it from a connection standpoint, right? Am I connecting to the client? And that's huge, because you could just say the number and say, oh, I told them the number, but if the client didn't feel that sense of connection that you care, then the relationship is broken, or not, it has, yeah, eroded.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really getting validation along the way too from the client, right?
That
Well, like, I want feedback. Is what I'm providing you today valuable to you? And then I want to revisit that every periodically. I want to say, hey, it's been 4 weeks. Does this information still matter to you, or do we need to change it to something else that maybe now is more important to you? So it's like making sure that you're always asking the client or giving them the opportunity to give you feedback. And also, is the information I'm providing you making sense? Don't just assume, because sometimes people aren't going to raise their hand and ask a question. So I like to just get sort of validation along the way. Do you have any questions? Is this clear? Is there something missing? Have I not given you something that's important to you? Have the priorities changed? It's really just having the ability to always know kind of what is important, because that changes from time to time. And also what we've learned is it's not a one size fits all approach when it comes to client services or customer service or working with clients. Is every client is different. They have a different set of experience. They have a different list of priorities. They like to be communicated to differently. So it's really understanding for each client what it is for them, right? Because we've oftentimes reported or provided reports or updates to clients that they never read or cared to read because it wasn't something they wanted. We just assumed because we did it for another client that this is what they wanted. And that isn't really the right approach. It has to be bespoke. It has to be custom. It has to be, hey, this is a different client than the other client. I need to go through the same process I did with them and just start over, right? So it's understanding that, you really have to cater to that individual who may have a different set of requirements for the way that you communicate with them and the information that you communicate with them and the frequency that you communicate with them.
Would you say that this is what sets you apart?
I would say, yeah, I think it's one of the competitive differentiators. I think, we're in a highly commoditized space. I think there are a lot of people that do what we do, can talk about all the great clients they've worked with and the amount of money they managed. And we have all of that. But I think ultimately, no different than when I go to a restaurant or I stay at a hotel or I'm on an airline, and I have an example of this and over the weekend where I was staying at a hotel and I made a request, and that request was very detailed and they came through and delivered. And I sent the general manager of that property an email yesterday and I said, hey, I want you to know I made this request, which is a non-standard request. They did that. And that to me is what made that stay memorable. It wasn't housekeeping. It wasn't food and beverage. It wasn't the pool. It was that little detail. So I think in our business, it really is about, the experience a client has in their interactions with us. It's, trying to create that connection, make them feel like we care more than someone else and that we take this seriously, right? The profession that we are in, and that we're going to go above and beyond. Because I think a lot of people, there's a lot of agencies out there, and some are great, and unfortunately, some are not great. But really, it's all about, like, what I found is just connecting with that client and making them feel that that experience is unique with 415 Digital. And by unique, I mean, hey, these guys really take the time to understand our business. They ask the right questions. They do the homework. They are prepared for every meeting. They follow up with a list of notes and action items. They're very organized and structured. They have a very formal process in terms of systems, and things like that. And people really like that. The discipline comes across.
Oh yeah, I can see that. I can sense that also within you, the way that you have laid it out too. And so how do you also communicate that to the external, your clients, external new clients? Is
Yeah,
that
it's hard. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess there are two. It depends. Is it a inbound, or is it a lead that came from inbound, or is it outbound? Inbound is usually, hey, Melinda referred a customer to 415 Digital, and Melinda spoke highly of us. So this prospect is already warm. So they believe her because they trust her and she's credible. So already, that's a different approach. Those folks, you've vetted for them. Right. So that's a little bit different. Where it becomes really challenging is if it's not a referral, if it's just someone that we have gotten through our outbound efforts. They've never heard of us. They've responded to a cold email that we sent them. And that's when you really have to try to create differentiation in what is a very busy, competitive space. And usually, with someone who's been burned by an agency and has had a bad experience, right? Because you're already fighting that uphill battle. And it's understandable for them to feel that way. So we immediately, or I immediately, sympathize with them, and I say, hey, that's extremely frustrating. You worked with an agency who promised all these things and they didn't deliver. I can only imagine how frustrating that is. It isn't the first time I've heard it. And you basically try to explain with them, how it would be different with you. And then really the only way to have success in that process, and even if you do this, you're still not going to bat a thousand, is to deliver some value free to them. And that value that you deliver to them has to give them a sense of what it would be like to work with you before they work with you, before they sign a contract or commit. So for me, my approach is always give them something as a deliverable that will give them a taste of what the experience with us will be like, so that they can kind of get a glimpse. Okay, these guys are really thoughtful. They're academic in their approach. They take time. They really understand our business. They've spent a lot of time without us even committing to anything to kind of do this for us. And that's kind of one way that we try to spend a lot of time up front with those types of prospects by doing work for free. And it doesn't always work, because sometimes they just want that and they still don't work with you. But it's really the only way you're going to try to get trust from someone who has never known you before.
Oh, Well, that just speaks to the amazing company that you are to be able to offer some support to clients who are interested and to show that what you can do, right? And so and to do it even if you're not certain if they're going to say yes or so that's amazing that you do that to build that trust, get that opportunity. And so so I mean, I hear a lot about you're right, communicating consistently, communicating to just a cold lead, to a warm lead, all the way to clients that are already in your world and having that consistent communication across the board. So for organizations that just think of communication, it could be fragmented. They may not have it so consistent. What would be possible for companies if they really thought about communication with a purpose, right? We're all, and it's streamlined all the way from marketing, sales to client fulfillment, and experience to sustainability. What if that whole through line was consistent in the way we shared our messages, in the way we acted upon our messages, in the way our clients receive our messages? What impact could that make for organizations?
God, it would be so nice.
I know.
Wow, everything you said sounds perfect. I mean, is that reality? You're not looking for perfection, because I think perfection gets in the way of good, and it's oftentimes like very difficult to do what you just said, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, the most successful businesses or brands do exactly what you just said,
Yeah.
right? There's a lot of consistency across the board, and that requires a lot of investment in education and training and development and all of those things, right? To make sure that everybody's sort of singing the same tune, right? So I think for us, we do spend a lot of time as a team talking about these things, right? Like, what do we want the client experience to be? What is our mission? What are the expectations clients have of us? Like, we really try to be as transparent as we can to the different groups within the organization. And we're not Apple, we're not a big company, we're a small company. So it's a lot easier to do when you only have 20 something people in your organization. This isn't an organization with thousands of employees. So I don't want to make it sound like doing it at this size is a monumental lift. But at the end of the day, it still requires effort and some level of formality. But yeah, what we try to do is just everybody, there's a lot of transparency within the organization. We spend a lot of time together having these conversations in terms of what we want the messaging to be, what we want the customer experience to be. We're very specific with, hey, in terms of comms, what do we want you to be communicating with the clients? What frequency? Even most recently, maybe 2 months ago, we introduced one new thing where we made it a requirement for our account managers to send one win per week to each of their clients. It didn't need to be anything huge. It could be a small victory, something that you want to highlight every week on a Friday to your client. It actually doesn't need to be a Friday. It just was a requirement that, hey, once a week, in addition to all the other comms, email, Slack, Zoom, weekly calls, whatever it is. I want you to send one email to your client highlighting one win, right? Even that to me is important. And we rolled that out, 8 years into the business, 8.5 years into the business. And these are things that you're constantly trying to experiment with, and you're learning new approaches to working with clients. And also, I always say it might be that some clients delete that message, never read it, but that's okay. That's not the point. We're still going to do it because we do know a lot of clients will value it and read it. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from clients. These are great. Keep them up. So that's kind of good validation points. So like even things like that, and introducing other ways to connect with clients, share information that we think is interesting to them. Also, again, another thing I say to our team is it's really on us to pat ourselves on the back. Our clients aren't always going to sing our praises, and that's okay. We're the ones who are providing the service. So oftentimes you only hear from a client if things are not going well. Sometimes we have great clients that praise us too, but more often than not, it's the service business, right? And so what I tell our team is it's really up to us to highlight all the great things we're doing. All the great things that we've done, whether they're small, medium, or large, they all count. So I really encourage the team, and it's not something that people are very comfortable with, if you can believe it. They don't like it because they think it's bragging or they're paying themselves a compliment. And I learned a long time ago, early in my career, that it's up to you to highlight all the great things you're doing because everybody else is too busy to, and it's really your job, right? As much as we all want a manager and a client to praise us all the time, it's just not realistic. So I was taught early, hey, if you did something great, make it known. And I and if you're worried about it coming across as bright, believe me, nobody on the client side or your managers, like if anybody ever said they were, I always tell my team, if you come to me every day and tell me you're doing great things, believe me, I will never say to myself in my head, this person is so, all they do is brag about what they do. I'd be like, this is great. Give me more. I thrive on that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree because we're making progress.
It's positive. We need positive energy. We need.
Positive energy. And it may be that it might not just be an update. I did XYZ. Like, what is the shift that we're making? What is the progress that we're making? That keep on giving me more, not just an update of your activities.
Exactly. And it could be something that isn't good news, but hey, by the way, I
What did I learn?
identified this is broken, but I identified it before the client did. So I wanted to let the client know, and here's the fix that we're working on, and here's when it's going to be done. Like, because that tells me that people are looking out for clients and they're getting ahead of it. And when it comes to me, when I'm the customer and someone does it, I'm like, oh my God, my accountant, oh, I noticed this problem in the books. I wouldn't have known that. Thank you for being another set of eyes for me. So it just also reassures me that they are looking at these things and are detail oriented. So the update doesn't always have to be we hit a milestone or a new record day or something. It could just be like you said, it could be anything, right? It's not a task per se. It's just here's something that I think is meaningful and worthy of communicating to you and why.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a lot of at least intentional, like you're creating good habits at 415 digital. You said you're small, you're 20, 20, but it's still like you're creating these good habits so that you can scale effectively so that all of these good habits you take it forth as you continue to scale the company, which is so
You
important.
have to, developing these habits and being consistent with the habits is really important, and honestly, easier said than done. It requires constant work, and we've made mistakes along the way, and we're just trying to iterate and get better.
No, that's the best way to do it because you're iterating and getting better with the clients that you have and keeping them in mind. One last question. That was so amazing. That's so true what you just said. And so this last question is, if the company, when organizations take all of this consistent communication, purposeful communication into account as they scale, what could that do for the legacy of the company? So what could this do for the legacy of your company?
I mean, for me, my legacy is if someone talks about my company in a favorable way, that we doing business with 415, they're ethical, they're hardworking, they're results oriented, they helped my business grow. Those are the things that I want to leave behind is, the reputation we have, and that these customer experiences were memorable, and that we actually made an impact. And I think all of these things that we're talking about are what allow you to create those outcomes and leave that type of legacy.
Exactly. When, because it's not when you're in the room speaking about it, it's when the people that are around you, your team, your clients are speaking about it. That is what sets the legacy. Well, I am so glad that we had this chance to talk. I thought it was powerful, rich with so many wonderful insights, and appreciate your time, Borja.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. And so, if there's a company out there that's looking for sustainable, result-oriented performance marketing, how can this company get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can visit our website, 415digital.com. That's FOUR, number 1, number 5, digital.com. Learn more about us, what we do, the clients we serve, our culture. There's a contact us form you can fill out. We'll be someone will respond to that within 24 hours. Also follow me on LinkedIn, Borja Kwan, and I occasionally make posts about digital marketing or entrepreneurship if you're interested in connecting with me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you, Borja.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me on the Speak and Flow podcast. Remember, organizations do not just work harder, they move together with clarity and purpose. When you speak, remember, speak what matters most so your team and organizations move forward together. Thank you so much. Take care. Until next time, bye bye. Thanks for tuning in today. If this conversation sparks something for you, if you're thinking, we talk a lot in our organization and things still fall through the cracks, we're not getting the results that we want, I've got something for you that might help. It's called the Accountability Self-Assessment, and it takes less than 60 seconds. In one quick review, you'll get real insights as to why accountability and results are slipping on your team. And you'll walk away with a legacy accountability card. It's a simple one-pager framework to help you and your team move talk to traction. Because the legacy of you and your team is built more than just meetings. It's built on clarity, consistency, and follow-through. So grab it today. Go to speakandflow.com or click on the link in the show notes. It's free, fast, and built for busy leaders like you. See you next time. Until then, keep communicating with impact and momentum.